The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with over 2 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. It's good to be back on a Monday afternoon, evening, depending on where you're at. But I first of all, I want to thank Carl Jackson for filling in for me. What a wonderful blessing he is. You know, when days I have to go and travel and do other things, Carl always hold the fort down. So I want all of you guys, if you listen to Carl, when you was listening to the show last time, the gentleman's name was Carl Jackson, if you forgot, go follow him on social media. You can go to his website at Carl Jackson, thecarljacksonshow.com. TheCarlJacksonShow.com. He posts regularly on his social media, especially Instagram. That's where I see most of his posts. You can also follow him on Twitter. So, and he has a podcast. So make sure y'all go to TheCarlJacksonShow.com and check Carl Jackson's work out. Let's talk about the shooting that happened in Nashville at the private school. Right now, according to the information that I have, I don't have any indication of the motive of this young person. According to reports, it was a female, looked like she was around school age. I think it just came out. My producer was telling me that she was a former student at the school, which it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that, given the fact that she went into the school through a side door, she automatically went to the second floor and began shooting. When I see something like that, what it tells me is that it's personal. It tells me that it's somebody that's familiar with the school. Because if you're just going in to do a random shooting, you bust in the door and then you're just shooting the first people you see. In many cases, people like that are not effective, thank God, because they don't know the layout of the school. They don't know if they're going during the break or not. But somebody that's gone to the school, picked the appropriate time that they know they're going to catch the people that they want to catch. It appears that it was about three adults shot and killed, 3 children shot and killed. And the speed of response of the police officers were absolutely astonishing. I can't believe it. From the time the call came out, which was around 12, I think it was like 12:13 or something like that, and they were able to eliminate the threat at about 12:27. It took them about 14 minutes to completely eliminate the threat in an active school shooting. Now, that's a good and a bad thing. It's a good thing because that was a tremendous response, not like Uvalde, where it took them an hour or so to get into the school. And it was a lot more of a complicated situation. Seeing officers be able to respond quickly and eliminate the threat on the second floor was very impressive, given the fact they didn't know where the shooter was. They were clearing the first floor, heard some shots. They went up to the second floor and eliminated the threat. Now, I will say this. Why is it that we are still going through this today? You will never stop a person from getting a gun. You ain't gonna stop it. I don't care who you think you are. Unless you're Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you're not gonna stop people from getting a gun. They can get a gun stolen. They can legally buy a gun, then go crazy. And all of the guns that are circulating the market right now in the United States of America, you cannot ban AR-15s and think that the guns are not going to be circulating for a significant amount of time after you ban the firearms. So what can we do? We don't know where school would be next. We don't know who's going to crack up today or tomorrow. So what should we do? As easy as the noonday sun, we should have police officers present on campus. How is that difficult? we should lock the door of the school. How is it that difficult? Those two things being put into place will save the lives of students and children who are left unarmed in the school. Look at Uvalde. Imagine if they would have locked the doors in Uvalde. And most people remember Uvalde. Imagine if they would have locked the doors like they're supposed to. Just locked the door. Then imagine if the doors were not locked and they had a police officer actually on campus. Think about the death toll being mitigated by a tremendous factor. I would argue that nobody probably would have died at Uvalde if they had a police officer that was on campus that can confront the suspect face one-on-one, not trying to confront a suspect with a door barricaded and getting shot at through the walls. I mean, now you've created a situation where it's a lot more difficult to combat. And I just want us to understand that, because I think we have a solution to the problem, but we have too many people that are cowardice and they don't want to step up and do what's right. The easy thing to do is to blame the gun. The easy thing to do is to blame politicians. The hard thing to do is to raise your kids right. The second hardest thing to do is for us to be able to manage these people in the mental health system. I guarantee you this person, this young lady, who went into school, they said, with two assault-style weapons, which I don't know what the flying flip that is. What is an assault-style weapon? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. But anyway, two assault-style weapons and a handgun. I guarantee you that this young person wasn't a Rhodes Scholar and decided to come back and pay the school a visit because she loved it so much. I guarantee you this was a troubled student, bullied student, and this student had something against somebody at the school, to where they enter into a side door, go upstairs, and ended up killing three teachers and three students. That to me, that was a targeted thing by this young person. And so I honestly believe that the two hard things I already mentioned, the parenting, the mental health, and then securing the schools. That's like the third. Let me put it in the camera so you can see it. That's like the third hard thing. These three hard things will essentially eliminate or mitigate this ever happening. Banning guns ain't going to stop anything. It's not going to stop anything. Because we're going to have to go and revisit the question. You're going to say, well, how did this young person get their hands on a gun? Probably because she was over 21, potentially. You don't need to be 21 to carry an AR-15. But probably because she was over 21 to get a handgun. She may have been up age enough to save enough money to buy a gun. How do you stop that from happening? Because you can be sane. Nobody turned her in. Nobody mentioned she was nutty. Nobody mentioned that she had been bullied and had made suicidal or homicidal ideations. Nobody mentioned it whatsoever. Therefore, she can't be checked, and therefore she can't be stopped from purchasing the firearm to go and commit murder. But I really wish that we would have an honest conversation and stop beating around the bush and being silly all the time. These politicians, I don't want to hear them speak. I want to hear parents speak. The parents should speak. The students should speak. The teachers should speak. And the politicians should respond, because their job is not to somehow arbitrarily come up with ideas. You are a representative of what the people want. And in this particular situation, somebody needs to have leadership and be able to protect those young people. Because if we don't protect them, who's going to protect them? If we don't have law enforcement at the school, who's going to protect the kids? They can't carry guns. The teachers can't carry guns. And law enforcement, it took them 10 minutes. If this young girl wanted to mass shoot the school up, she could have killed way more people than six people. She must have not been attempting to kill a lot of people. She could have killed way more than six, because it took them 10 minutes. Now, 10 minutes is extremely fast in a circumstance like this, but 10 minutes. I want y'all to understand, I've probably been talking for about 10 minutes. You see how long that is? That's a long time for somebody to have free reign, unobstructed in a school with high powered weapons. And I'm assuming a good amount of ammo. So we need to really figure this out. And I don't think it takes much out of the budget to get a few officers at the school. Make sure you lock the doors. Follow protocol on and in and out of season. These are the things that I think that we should be focused on. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have my earpiece in, so how much time do I have? Okay, I got 40 seconds. See, I almost got it down to a T. But we'll continue this conversation because obviously it's interesting that it's a female suspect. And normally females don't engage in conduct like this. So I'm interested to see as information come out, what was the background of this young lady and why did she do such a tremendous horrendous crime against children at an elementary school? Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
New report, the government is warning of a known safety threat that poisons thousands of Americans every single year and worse. Craig didn't know his wife and his kids were going to die that night. Craig tried to do the right thing during Hurricane Ida. He bought a gas generator and fired it up. But during the night, deadly carbon monoxide seeped out of the gas generator and into Craig's home. It poisons Craig's wife and his two children in their sleep, fire officials say. The sad part is, Craig isn't alone. What's even worse, Craig's tragedy didn't have to happen at all, thanks to a new generation of portable, safe, silent, and 100% fume-free generators that is now available to all Americans, even those who think they might not be able to afford it. The Patriot Power Generator is a solar generator that doesn't use gas, so it doesn't have fumes. And instead of being loud, it is quiet as a laptop. Plus, it's so lightweight, you can take it with you, even use it inside. And it's powerful enough for your phone, medical device, or even your fridge. And right now, you can go to 4patriots.com. That's the number 4patriots.com and use code Tatum to get 10% off your first purchase on anything in the store, including the Patriot Power Generator. Just go to 4patriots.com. That's the number 4patriots.com and use code Tatum to get 10% off. That's 4patriots.com. Use code Tatum and get yours today.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, I think this is probably going to be one of my last reads for the MyPillow.com. It's good to go?
They said that you'd be doing them live.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's probably going to be one of my last read for MyPillow.com. Not for any other reason, but that I'm going to start promoting my own store. I have a store called the Officer Tatum Store. You can put Tatum Store, I shortened the link so people can click on it. It's called Tatum Store. We'll start giving you information about my store, all the merch that we have. You know, the coldest store in the conservative game by far. But anyway, I want to give you an opportunity to take advantage of this deal from MyPillow real quick. Before the deal ends. So go to MyPillow.com if you're looking for an incredible pillow, because we sleep on my pillows every single day and they are absolutely phenomenal. And I really enjoy having a pillow that's functional, that's soft, that have a cool feel to it. It's funny how maybe I'm tripping, but it's like every time I lay down to sleep and I go to get to my pillow, it's got a cool feel to it. It's almost like it's retaining cool air, and then you lay on it and get that cool, refreshing feel as soon as you lay on the pillow. And that's one thing I love about the MyPillow 2.0. So go on to get the MyPillow 2.0. It's buy one, get one free offer. If you put in discount code Brandon, at MyPillow.com, and you'll get the buy one, get one free on the MyPillow 2.0. 100% made in USA, 10-year warranty, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So let's get back into the subject at hand. Real quick to finish off the conversation about the shooting scenario. I think it's very simple, very clear. We need police officers at the school. We need the doors to be locked. When circumstances and situations have presented themselves in schools where they follow protocol,
a very minimal amount of carnage, and the suspect is typically dead within minutes. Same thing happened in South Oak Cliff. I think it was they were in a summer camp or something of that nature. And the suspect came in and tried to shoot up the summer camp at the gymnasium. He came through the front, and the receptionist started busting caps. Wasn't even talking, just started busting. So they get into a shootout right there at the reception desk. So the suspect runs out of the entryway, tries to go through a door, couldn't get in the door. Why? Because the door was locked. And then the police officer showed up shortly after that, and smoked him like a brisket. So to me, that was a very simplistic way to protect the kids. Arm the teachers, have somebody armed, have police respond, make sure the doors are locked, and everybody live to see another day. Let me say this, because I know that there's people that are that may want to give a little pushback when it comes to arming teachers. I don't understand. Let me just say this. I'm not going to be superfluous. I understand why some people have concerns. I think that those concerns are rooted in ignorance. It's not negative. It's just the ignorant mean not knowing or maybe not thinking this through. If you have a teacher with a gun to bring a gun to school, obviously you should train the teacher, right? There's a level of training you have to go through, courses you have to go through, and certification you have to be able to carry a gun. And I don't think any of the students need to know that you carry a gun. It just needs to be something that the teachers know and the principal know. The kids don't need to know. Therefore, when they come shoot up the school, they don't know who got a gun and who don't have a gun. Now, I'll add this, and people act like, well, the teacher have a gun on campus now. What if they act up? Well, the teacher can bring a gun on campus just like the kids bring a gun on campus. How you going to stop them? There ain't no metal detector. There's not no invisible force field that says, well, the teacher don't have permission to bring a gun on campus, so if they brought the gun, they definitely can't shoot nobody because they didn't have permission in the first place. Man, if a teacher wanted to shoot up the school, they just bring a gun on campus like the kids do. Ain't no metal detectors. It's a gun-free zone. Ain't nobody got a gun but the teacher that want to go postal. So if you were worried about a teacher shooting up the school, it would be better for you to have another teacher with a gun that can stop that teacher. And I think this is the way we should be conducting it. And I would love to hear a person disagree with me. I believe that you're wrong, but I'm open-minded at a great explanation. All right, let me move on to Donald Trump indictment. The question is, do you think that Donald Trump being indicted is going to hurt or help his campaign? I honestly believe that Trump being indicted, rumors of indictment, is literally helping his campaign. Now, I'm not mad at that because I want the Democrat to take a L in 2024, but I really do believe it's helping his campaign. You know, the story of the martyr, the story of the victim is a lot more compelling to make people act than the story of the unchallenged victor. Let me just give you an example. Why is there so much money in Black Lives Matter, so much money in diversity, inclusion, and all of these things? Why is there so much money in these things? It's because there's victimhood associated. There's emotionalism associated. And we can draw victimhood and emotionalism, then you will be able to clearly, you know, get to the bottom of whatever you want to get to. And the same thing is with Trump. When you have Donald Trump being the martyr in this situation, it creates energy and a feeling in people to make them feel like they have to stand up for the person that's being done wrong. And I honestly believe that if they are trying to arrest Donald Trump for something he did in a campaign finance situation, to me, it's an attack. It is an attack politically. It has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not he committed a crime, because we can go down a list and 100 people have done the same thing and they know it. People that have done it are probably currently in government, but they want to come after Trump because they want him to go to jail. They want to say, look, I'm going to stick it to you. But the funny thing is that when you're doing things with malice, you do nothing but help the other person. If their goal is to stick it to Donald Trump, it's not going to work. You're doing this outside of good faith. It's going to crumble and fall in your face every single time. Now, have my thoughts changed about Donald Trump DeSantis? No, my thoughts have not changed about Donald Trump and DeSantis. However, I do understand momentum. And I think that Donald Trump has a tremendous amount of momentum. It seems as if sometimes he's willing to throw his momentum away. But he has a lot of momentum going into this election. He has a ton of more momentum than Ron DeSantis. It's just not even close at this point. Now, could the tide turn? Can it become a little more close in relation? Probably. But right now, Donald Trump is leaps and bounds above Ron DeSantis. And if I had to guess, unless I was completely wrong, I would guess that it won't be close if the primary was today. So when people, you know, they often have this conflict in their mind about, you know, Trump, DeSantis, who's going to win and all this. And I think that it's very clear that Donald Trump is ahead of the game right now. So call in 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. I'll hear from you guys after the break. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you can ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he's discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable feel of the original MyPillow, and now with the brand new fabric that is made with a temperature regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. For my exclusive listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free offer with my promo code Brandon. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to get to the buy one, get one free offer. Enter promo code Brandon or call 800-976-8379 to get your MyPillow 2.0s now. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to tell you guys real quick about the Salem News Channel. If you're looking to watch the show and listen to the show at the exact same time, do it now at SalemNewsChannel.com. SalemNewsChannel.com, not only will you get my syndicated first hour of the show, but every other host that is on Salem, and we have a plethora of great hosts. I have breaking news. So go to SalemNewsChannel.com, download it on your phone through the App Store, or get it on the Roku. Let me jump to breaking news right now. Breaking news in the shooting that happened in Nashville, Tennessee. We have the young person who's now been identified, and I knew it the whole time that this is what it was going to be. When you see a Christian private school targeted, you already should know that it has to be somebody who hate Christians. But let me just say this. Will the media cover this like they should? Because if this was a Jewish center for kids or a Muslim center for kids, or, you know, like a school that was primarily the religion was of another nature other than Christian, they'll be covering it all day long. They'll be talking about the increase in hate and against the Muslim community, against the Jewish community. Are they going to talk about it against the Christian community? Let me give you the update. The young person that was arrested, allegedly, or not arrested, the person is now deceased, that was shot and killed after shooting and killing six people in the school in Nashville, a Christian private school. I'm not going to say the person's name because they don't need to get any kind of glory or representation. It's the problem now. They know they're going to get plastered all over the news, so they go and do these shootings so you can talk about their name and put their picture everywhere. However, this person identified as transgender. So it appears that this was a boy who identified as a girl, and out of full throttle hatred towards Christianity, decided to go into school and kill Christians. Now, let me read a little bit of this article because it's breaking now, and I want to make sure I get all the facts right. It says, following the shooting, this individual was killed when they encountered officers. It says they? Oh, my God. They even had put they in the article. When they encountered officers on the second floor by 10:27, 4 minutes into the shooting. Let me tell you, let me just stop real quick. They literally, they meaning the news outlet, literally put they encountered officers. Do you know how stupid this is? Because when I was reading it, it threw me off because they is plural. I thought it was multiple people. One person encountered officers on the second floor, and they still calling them a they in the article. We know by now that this person, we know the name, we know that the person is a former student, and I can almost guarantee you the person wasn't trans when they were at the school. And the news know, New York Post, what I'm reading, they know, and they still decide to call this boy they. It never seems to amaze me. Since police said that this person was equipped with at least two rifles, it says assault style rifle. Somebody show me a rifle that in an assault style. What does that even mean? Anyway, assault style rifles and a handgun and searching. It says her, his family home in Nashville. Officers found detailed maps and a manifesto of the attack. Now, I hope that they're playing this on the news all day long, because this is an attack on Christianity. Christians have been under attack in this country for a very long time. This is a manifestation of the hatred and vitriol against Jesus. No question about it. Because Christians have a standard. The left-wing media feel like it's okay to attack him. Because Christian people, and I'm going to tell you this, Christian people, not all, because some of them nutty, but generically, the gospel message, the Bible itself, written in its original form, is about love, unity, and these lunatics who don't want to follow any rules, who want to live promiscuous lives or whatever their proclivities are, they deem Christianity to be something of a negative nature. I would argue this, and then I got to go, but I would argue this. Show me a person that followed the commandments and wouldn't live a better life. Show me that person. If the world just abide by two commandments out of all 10, two commandments, that's it. Just do two. You ain't got to do all 10. Do two. This world will be a completely different place. Show me another religion. Show me another way, and then I'll trust you. Other than that, the Bible is the only way. Let me tell you guys about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day, and it works well for me, and I encourage you to give it a try. All you have to do is go to ReliefFactor.com. Go on the website, look up the reviews, look up the testimonials, and be inspired. Because I'm a testimonial myself, but don't just listen to me, because you may like Brandon Tatum and you love what he has to say on the radio. Maybe you bias towards me. Go look at some other testimonies. Go look at how other people have had interactions with Relief Factor. And then go on, get started with the 3-week quick starter. It's a great way to give it a try, watch it work, and then order more. So start with the 3-week quick starter for $19.95. Get it in your system and order more. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. I want you to feel the difference like I do with Relief Factor. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Let me tell you guys about a movie that you do not want to miss, and it is The Real Anthony Fauci. I think people are misconstruing things that would allude to the fact that Anthony Fauci is a legitimate person, and he's not, in my personal opinion. But Bobby Kennedy Jr. and others exposed the harmful health system and Anthony Fauci's role in shaping the AIDS and COVID-19 epidemic. So y'all go to salemnow.com to watch The Real Anthony Fauci. And I want to hear from you guys. What do you think about it? I think it's an amazing opportunity to show who Anthony Fauci really is. So we got a clip from AOC. I'll be able to play it here when we got. Do we have it on deck? Okay, I'm going to play this clip from AOC because it matches perfectly with exactly what I'm talking about. Roll the clip.
Many of these disgusting and insinuating attacks on trans and LGBT people are actually projections of what predatory cisgender and often straight men do when left alone in the presence of women, or sometimes horribly, children. So instead of getting you to challenge the patriarchy, they're trying to get you to challenge the very gender expressiveness that challenges patriarchy. Don't get it twisted, because a lot of people attacking drag are projecting.
The stupidest woman on planet Earth. I feel bad for her parents. If they're still alive, they should slap themselves in the back of the head and question, how did you raise such an idiot? How? What are people like ALC? They build this, I'm telling you, this is what happens. They build this false image of people coming after transgender, and they're projecting because of drag story hour. And it's like the same stuff that people like her say is what drive these young people who are already lost and damaged in transgenderism. It haunts them, and they believe that the enemy is the Christian. They believe that the enemy is the conservative Republican. And the real enemy is AOC. Coming up with all of these terms that will never help you. There will never be a person who's transgender that's helped because of these Democrats and leftists like AOC. They don't have a vested interest in helping you. They don't care. They'd rather virtue signal than actually help you. Same thing with the gun argument. You can go right now and say, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, what's your solution for gun violence? I want to cuss, but I'm on the radio and I'm a Christian. So those two things prevent me from cussing. But I want to cuss real bad. You can ask her. You can bring her to a school. And you can sit her in a classroom. And you say, what can we do right now to protect you if you were a student in this school? What can we do right now? She will tell you, we need comprehensive gun control. You know how stupid that is? Because look at this. If you're going to make a law, it has to be a drafted law. It has to pass the House and Senate, and then the president has to sign it into law if you want to make a federal law. The same similar situation happens on the state level. You want to make a law, it's got to pass the House, the Senate, and then it's got to go to the governor for his signature. And then it has to be implemented at some point. Now, while you waiting on all of that paperwork, all you have to do is get a police officer to post up outside the school. Y'all can do that within 2 minutes. Y'all can get on the radio. 2 out of 11, 7. Copy. Can you respond to the elementary school here in Hope Post? Boom. He's there. 2 minutes. If it's a donut shop down the street, he's there 30 seconds. It won't take long. You got the police officer right there. That's an indicator. Now you want to say what's next? Go through this legal process of doing all this other stuff that'll take months and months and months. And if you know they're going to begin to ban these things, you're going to go shoot the school up before the legislation hit effect. Or you could just lock the door. There's a locking mechanism right on that door. And instead of you being lazy and thinking, oh, it won't happen to us, it will never happen in this community, make sure the door is locked at all times. You walk out, you don't have a key, you ain't getting in. You're going to have to wait for Miss Sally to come from room 3 to come let you in. But if you ain't got the key, you locked out. Why? Because somebody get nutty and they want to come to the school, it ain't going to be on me. Not unless she had a key to the side door, it ain't no way for that transgender person to be coming through the door. And I keep calling them a she, because the world is so messed up that now the boy is called a she in all the articles, and now I'm thinking he or she. Regardless of that, lock the door. But Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez ain't gonna never tell you that. But she'll go home to her house and lock her front door. She get under pressure, they'll hire private security to protect them. But your kids, they want to wait and pass legislation. You know what's funny is that when AOC's life is in danger, when people are attacking her, tell her to pass a law first. That's how it's going to help her be protected. No. Don't send security to her house when there's a present threat. No. Pass legislation that creates a law that allows her to have security permanently. Whatever law you want to put into place. No. Better yet, I made the wrong analogy. I'll tell you an analogy that's better than that. Have her ban AR-15s. Have that law passed
while there's a present threat on her life. Don't send police officers to her house. Don't have security for her. She can't lock her doors. Why would you take that precaution? That's what our kids got to deal with. Y'all fools ain't got no solution but to try to pass legislation that ain't going to work instead of protecting them today. But you don't pass legislation for yourself. You protect yourself today. We protect our politicians today. We protect the banks today. We protect interest today. But the kids, we gonna leave y'all out to hang until we figure out something to do with legislation and violating people's constitutional rights. All right, I didn't say it enough. My voice is gonna go out. Y'all hold the phone. Call in. I'll be back after the break.
You have the right to remain silent, but it's better if you chop it up with Brandon.
Ladies and gentlemen, and ladies, welcome back to the Off-State Show. Let me get a couple of people in who are calling in real quick. Let me go with Steve from Sacramento, California. Steve, welcome to the Off-State Show.
Hi, how you doing? Hey, I've got 2 points I want to make. The first one is, as bad as this is, and I wouldn't want my family member shot up, as bad as it is, it's not nearly as bad as so many other problems in this world. I think it seems like we have more and more shootings in the past several years, but I think it's cool we have more people. I did the math, and if we have an average, approximate average of population in the United States of 340 million people, and if we had one person that was really bad, the percentage of them, what I did the math, and I figured if we had an arena or a stadium that held 30,000 people, it would take 11,333 stadiums for our population. So we have a bad apple out of 11,333 stadiums. I think we have more problems than this, like fentanyl and the borders and everything. This is being blown way out of proportion. And then the other thing is, you know, nobody will ever go into a police station and shoot up the police station, because we all know what would happen. There's guns everywhere, including people that are just, you don't even see their gun. It never happens. And you think about it, as much as I love cops and all the law-abiding conservatives love cops, there's a heck of a lot of repeat offender criminals that hate cops. They blame the cops for them going to prison. They hate the cops. Yet, so there's more people that hate the cops than hate these teachers and former students and stuff, yet they don't go shoot up the police station because there's no all those guns in there. So I believe your other point that you made before the break, 100% accurate. If these teachers had a gun, and I think if the perpetrators did not know who had a gun or who didn't, you wouldn't be seeing these things very often. But when we do, it's still a very small percentage of the population, and we're never going to weed out every bad apple 100%.
No, I agree with you so much. I really appreciate you calling in. Thanks so much, Steve. 1,000%. I mean, I think it's common sense. Anybody that disagrees with that, you got to be nutty. You have to be completely nutty. There is no question whatsoever that there's an easy way to protect our kids. And the first thing that you have to do is put the police officer at the school, get the teachers the ability to carry a gun, and lock the doggone doors. It's really that simple. Just lock the doors. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm running out of time. I want you to hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Common sense in an uncommon way. Act like you know. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. So, you know, just when I thought a woman had shot up a school, it was actually a man. Identify as a woman. Now, let's see how they categorize this. Are they going to say a woman shot up a school? Or are they going to say a boy shot up a school who identifies a woman? Because the stats are going to be messed up. It's a biological boy. But we shall see when we actually come to that. You know, let me talk about something real quick, because I think it's important. I don't know if you guys saw this. Sean, you brought it up to my attention, and I didn't think I didn't have a chance to talk about it on the radio because I was gone all last week. I don't know if you guys saw the anchor. I think she was in Alabama or somewhere. The anchor on the TV show, or not TV show, but the news. She was promoting something that Snoop Dogg was doing. I think like a wine business that he has or something like that. And they had made some mentions of Snoop Dogg and then they should partner with some people and maybe I think one of their colleagues. Where was it at? Oh, Jackson, Mississippi. So they had mentioned that maybe Snoop Dogg should partner with probably one of their colleagues. I'm assuming that this person was probably a colleague just by the way that they were talking about her. And then one of the ladies on the show, she was one of the anchors, and she had said, "For shizzle, my nizzle." And they fired her. Now, I would argue that out of everybody that's listening to me on the radio right now, probably five people know what "for shizzle my nizzle" mean. Or at least know the words that "for shizzle my nizzle" is doing a play on in order to not say the official words. I guarantee you probably nobody can call in and tell me what it really, really says. It's rare. And I'm sure the anchor had no idea what "for shizzle my nizzle" or at any point thought that it was something negative. But just for you folk that are out there, "for shizzle my nizzle" is a part of Snoop Dogg's rap lyrics. And what he's pretty much saying, instead of saying "for show my N-word," is "for shizzle my nizzle." So he kind of put a little stank on the word "for sure" or "for show." He put "for shizzle" and then put a little stank on the N-word and put "nizzle." So therefore, people can actually say it without saying the N-word. And I guarantee you 95% of white people had no idea that that's what it said. There's no idea that's what it meant. And they turned around and fired a woman off the anchorage. I don't even know if that's a word. They fired her from being an anchor because of that. And I bet you it was some woke white person who was offended on behalf of the invisible black man who was offended. Because I don't think a single black person is looking at her like, "I can't believe she said that. I'm offended." I don't think so. So I doubt anybody made a stink. It probably was some white liberal or leftist who is a racist. And therefore, they feel that blacks are so sensitive that they are going to stand up for blacks on behalf of them without any of a black person expressing the problem. You know, it was just like I was at, yeah, you guys missed a lot. I forget that I wasn't on the radio this whole time. It was like I can't remember the day it was. It was last week at some point. I was at Michigan Tech. And I was doing a speech there because I do speeches all around the country at Turning Point USA chapters. And I was doing a speech there in a non-binary transgender or whatever. I don't know what this person was. To this day, I don't know if it was a boy or girl. Was sitting right on the front row. And I saw him with the cowboy boots, the jeans, and the belt buckle. And I said, and it had a little LGBTQ flag pin. And I said, "Okay, this person is probably nutty." But I just did my little speech anyway. And what do you know? Out of everybody in there, this person jumps up on the front row and like yells at me, "You said America is not racist." Now you got to think, this is a white person. And if you guys haven't noticed already, I'm black. And this white liberal jumps up and says, "You say America's not racist." And I said, "All right." I knew that she or he was going to get flamed right after you said that because you are in a conundrum. I said, "Well, you tell me what rights you have that I don't have." Can you imagine how that went? Well, sound like an old school typewriter. I'm like, no. What rights do you have that I don't have? Well, statistically, black people are less likely to. It's like, nah, man, y'all full of crap.
You're threatened and offended on behalf of people who ain't even offended. And it was a big exchange. I'm going to post it on my social media. I might do a reaction video to it. It was just like, and I gave the person the mic. I let them engage because you blurting this stuff out. I'm not going to talk over you. I'm going to make you engage with me because you want to talk loud and be anonymous. I'm going to put the mic in front of your face and have you explain. Another knockout blow was I had made mention that Barack Obama isn't a black president. He would not be considered the first black president because he wasn't black. And this, of course, the person got up and, yo, what did you mean Barack Obama isn't black? So I walked the mic over and I said, what color is Barack Obama's father? Well, he was black. What color is Barack Obama's mama? Well, she's white. I said, then what makes him black and not white? Well, society, I said, you're a racist because the concept that you're spewing is pushing white supremacy. Because this was the problem way back in the day, that if you had one drop of black in you as a white person, meaning that somebody slept with a black man, you were no longer white. You could not be considered white because the white race were to be pure. And so any race mixing, you are automatically a part of the other race. And you were no longer a part of the white race. And this was the race mixing that I'm talking about that's rooted in white supremacy. So when you see a biracial kid and they call him black, it's these same liberals that claim that America is so racist that are pushing white supremacy. Because why can't a kid that's 50-50 just be a mixed kid or biracial? Why does that kid have to default to black? Can never default to white. Colin Kaepernick can never default to white, but he can default to black. To me, that's one of those racist concepts that continue to be thrusted into our society. And these leftist lunatics can't help themselves but be a part of that. And so, of course, took an L on that one. And then I don't remember that I talk about this on the radio about redlining. I know a lot of people hear this term redlining and they associate redlining with racism and all of the other things that kept black people down. And because of redlining, black people sleeping with five or six women and not want to be they daddies and selling dope to each other. I guess that they blame redlining on that. Sound like a personal decisions and culture. However, they talk about redlining. And then, of course, I schooled the liberal on redlining. And I know that I'm probably have to go to the break here in a second, but and I'm going to run out of time. But I want to talk to you guys about this when I get back from the break. I got a little bit of time. I want to talk to you guys when I get back from the break about redlining. Because the concept, and this is why I challenge you all to question everything you were taught. Everything about racism, every parallel that you see with modern America to back then, question it all. Because they swear before God that police officers just killing black people for no reason. And we all know that's a bunch of bull crap. Imagine how much stuff was bull crap back in the day. Redlining, in my personal opinion, is one of those questionable arguments and articulations of racism in America, systemic racism. Because just because there's disparity, it does not mean that there's discrimination. And I'm going to explain it thoroughly as soon as I come back from the break. So y'all hold the phone. You can call in. I'll get to you right after the break in about 10 seconds, 30 seconds. Oh man, I said my timing is off. So we'll have that conversation. The biggest takeaway I want you to take away in the 30 seconds is that these are the questions you want to ask yourself real quick. Is that, are you getting the full story in the statistical data that are coming out? What data points are they referencing? Are they articulating black people in a variety of different, I would say backgrounds, or they're isolating, or they're throwing everybody in the same category and then making disparities out of that. Hold the phone. I'll be back.
The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to The Officer Tatum Show. I got a special guest coming in right now, and it's going to be a tremendous interview right on time. Right on topic. I want to just give you his resume real quick.
so you know the caliber of person that I'm talking to. Leonidas Johnson is a speech and language pathologist, a writer, podcast host, theater and film actor, director, musician, Christian father, husband, and an advocate for individualism in a post-racial society. He has a bachelor's degree in psychology and a master's degree in speech language pathology, both from Ohio University. He began hosting the Informed Dissent podcast in August of 2020. His new book, Raising Victims, The Pernicious Rise of Critical Race Theory, was released on February 7, 2023. Can y'all give Leonidas Johnson a warm welcome? Leo, I'm going to call you Leo. Welcome to the Austin Tatum Show.
Yeah, man. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's such a blessing, man. Thank you so much for doing the incredible work that you're doing, writing book. You know, I wrote a book. It's very crucial to be able to educate people on these topics, and critical race theory is one of those topics that people just do not understand. And I will say this, right. I don't know if it's intentional, unintentional, but can you break down what critical race theory really is? Because a lot of people say a lot of things about it, but you're the expert on it, wrote a book about it. What is critical race theory?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is that that nebulousness is intentional. That kind of way of making it seem like you can't really define it, you can't really pin it. It's kind of a moving target. It's intentional so that people can't criticize. If you can't name it, if you can't define it, then you know, like Bethany Mandel got in trouble. What was that, last week, when she couldn't define wokeness, right? Like, they're going to come after you and say, you don't even know what you're talking about. And so it's a very clever weapon that they use. But critical race theory at its root is the belief that racism is endemic in our society, that it's interwoven into our institutions, and that it's the reason for racial disparities. So anytime racial disparities pop up, it's because the institution itself is racist. And so they believe that the entirety of Western culture, the entirety of the foundations of our country, whether we're talking about the First Amendment or the Second Amendment or neutral principles of constitutional law, like, this is straight from the founders. They think that these things are imbibed with white supremacy, and they drive white supremacy and oppression of non-white people. So that's critical race theory at its root. What they'll tell you, though, is they'll tell you that it's a tool of analysis, and it's a way to see racism in places that where it's been driven underground. Because what they tell you, Tatum, is that the civil rights movement stalled out. It didn't accomplish what it set out to accomplish. And so they needed critical race theory to come in, because racism had interwoven itself into our society and hidden itself, and now it's clandestine and operating behind the scenes. And so they needed critical race theory to see it. It's that special super spy decoder ring, so you can see it where it doesn't, where it's not apparent, and it's driving these racial disparities.
And I have to, I mean, that's one of the greatest explanations of critical race theory that I've heard. And I don't understand this, brother. Why do people give us such pushback when we are just alluding to the fact that critical race theory isn't conducive for the health and well-being of our young people? Can you explain in your experience and your education and your research, how is this negatively affecting our children? Because obviously this was a theory originated in graduate school, I believe, like graduate education level of a theory. And now they're pushing and condensing it and molding it. I don't know what all they're doing to it. They're pushing it on our young people. How do you think this affect our young people, especially young black people, moving forward?
Right. So critical race theory was formed in the late 70s and throughout the 80s. And again, it was because they felt like the civil rights movement stalled out and they needed something else. And it was built off of critical legal theory. And yeah, it's been infused in our institutions and throughout our society since then. So it's been around for a while and only really started to really get some of a foothold here. But what it does on a fundamental level is it divides people by race. I mean, it uses racism as a tool. It finds utility in racism. And Ibram X. Kendi says this explicitly, that present discrimination is the remedy for past discrimination, and future discrimination is the remedy for present discrimination. He says that explicitly. So in their mind, racial discrimination, treating people differently based on their race, is justified because, again, they believe that there's this invisible racism that's inherent. So what they're doing is they're teaching children that they're either oppressors or they're victims based on based solely on skin color. And what you're doing in that case is you're, well, obviously you're separating people into two groups and then pitting those groups against each other. So that's toxic in and of itself. But then on the other end of it, you're also instilling children with an external locus of control, which means that you're telling them that they have no control over what happens to them or what's going on in their world, that they're completely beholden to these systems. So it doesn't matter what they feel on the inside or like where, like what they actually believe. What matters is that they're part of this system and this history, and they can't escape that because of their skin color. So they're benefiting from this system if they, because they're white, or they're being oppressed by this system because they're black. So that's why you get situations in schools where they're, we're saying that we need to get rid of these advanced classes because there's not enough black and brown students in them, because there's no way that we can boost the numbers. There's no way we can actually help these black and brown students get into those classes. So the answer is to eliminate them themselves, because it's the system that's the problem. Like New York City schools wanted to get rid of the honor roll because there weren't a lot of black and brown, there weren't enough black and brown students making, they said it was detrimental to their mental health or whatever. I mean, it's insane. Like, and instead of helping more kids achieve the honor roll, the answer was to eliminate the honor roll. So what you're telling children is that they can't do it. They can't achieve. They have no ability to overcome these obstacles. And it instills in them, it's disempowering and instills, again, that external locus of control. And it instills a sense of learned helplessness. And it's so this sense of victimhood, this sense of victim mentality, and teaches them that they can't do it. So it's very detrimental, it's disempowering, and it's harmful across the board.
I couldn't agree with you more. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Leonidas Johnson. He's the author. I mean, amongst many wonderful things, my favorite is The Christian Man, a Father and a Husband, but, you know, has advanced degrees in a lot of these things. And the new book that he's just written, y'all need to go out and get it. It's called Raising Victims, and it was released February the 7th of this year. So y'all need to go out and get it. But, you know, I got 1 minute left. I could literally talk to you for like 3 hours, but I got 1 minute left. I want you to just sum it all up. What is the purpose? I mean, and I say what the purpose, you know, because I think we kind of spoke over the purpose. But what is the end goal, and how do we prevent that from happening in about, I probably got 40 seconds now. So go ahead.
Push back. Know what the truth is. Know very well what the edicts of critical race theory are. So study, research, know what critical race theory is, how it disguises itself in diversity, equity, inclusion, anti-racism, Black Lives Matter. Know how it manipulates people by trying to get into your emotions and saying, you know, oh, you don't think Black Lives Matter,
you don't like diversity. I hope that you can hold on for me. I'm going to the break. I would love to bring you to another segment because I have to let you finish that. Hold the phone. I'll be back at the break. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I had incredible guest, Leonidas Johnson. I call him Leo, but I want you to know his full name, because when you look up the book, when you look him up on social media, you need to know Leonidas is L-E-O-N-Y-D-U-S, Leonidas Johnson. Leonidas, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. You know, outside of the things that obviously your book that just came out, you know, of course, I follow you on social media. You one of the coldest people when it comes to articulating your arguments in an educated manner. You know, some people can argue out of emotions. You argue out of knowledge and education. And I think it resonates with a lot of people. I want to touch on this point because I'm a big Christian. I got a shirt on right now. And you probably can't see me. It says God is everything. Can a person effectively be a Christian and preach CRT at the same time?
My answer is no. My answer is no. And the reason why it's no is because critical race theory it elevates race to a form of religion, particularly fighting against this sort of racial oppression, this hidden racial oppression, these dragons of racial oppression, I should say. And I'll give you a story. There's a philosopher named Ken Minogue, and he had this allegory about St. George, the dragon slayer, when he goes in retirement. He had slayed all the dragons in the land, and he had identified so closely with slaying dragons and that when he went in retirement, he lost his sense of purpose. He lost his sense of meaning in his life. And so what happened is he started seeing dragons everywhere. He started seeing dragons that bark and dragons that quack, dragons that claim to be villagers. And he ran out and he was slaying them all, proclaiming them to be the fiercest dragons in the land because he found that identity again. And eventually he's seen swinging his sword at thin air, proclaiming it to be a fierce dragon. And that's what we're seeing with this. We're seeing it that people are replacing God and replacing a Christian identity with this sense of racial dragon slaying, the sense that race is the epitome of who you are and the central point of your identity. And it's everything about who you are and how you identify. And then fighting against racial oppression is your highest calling. And everything boils down to that dogmatic ideology. And so I don't think so, because in the kingdom of God is not segregated. The kingdom of God is not about black and white or brown or whatever it is, pitting each other against each other. It's about unity. It's about humanity. It's about seeing each other as children of God, as made in the image of God. And that's what we should be preaching. That's what we should be pushing. We should be looking for that unity. We should be looking how to connect. We should be looking for our common humanity. And critical race theory does the exact opposite, Tatum. Does the exact opposite.
Amen and amen. Y'all can pass around that virtual offering plate because my brother over here is preaching. You know, I love the fact that we have to be able to balance this as Christian men, is that we cannot idolize or put our race as a god, you know. I think what hurts a lot of people in the black community, not a lot of the black community, but a lot of people that's in the black community, is that now race trumps anything that God can ever do for you. The white man is more powerful than Jesus himself, because these systems can somehow overcome the blessings that God have in your life, and God is now subject to some systems that was created in fantasy world, you know. But I think we both can agree that there were things in place in this country that were negative in affecting black people, you know, in history. But I think today we have never been more free. We have never been more able. We have never been more equal than any other point in history. So what inspired you, just real quick, because I know I'm always running against the clock on the radio, but what really inspired you to finally say, look, I got to write this book? Because I know you have the knowledge, you've been speaking on these topics, but what made you say, I'm going to put this down in a book and publish it?
Yeah, and it came from a place of frustration, I think, that you know, just hearing the racial arguments and all the lies that were surrounding race and such racial division. And I have four kids, and I don't want them growing up in an environment where they're being taught that they're either oppressors or victims, or that their family members are oppressors or victims. Because, I mean, my family spans the spectrum of human variation. We have white family members. We have Puerto Rican family. I mean, we have everybody in our family, man. And so I can't look at my kids and tell them that they need to identify with some of their family but not the other, or they need to draw a line between them and think like, okay, here's the victim side of your family, here's the oppressor side of your family, now we're going to have an identity crisis. I mean my kids have no racial identity whatsoever right now, and I'm proud of that fact, and I hope that it continues, because they just see themselves as human beings. They see each other as human beings. They each have different skin colors. We used to joke that you line them up by age, it looks like a printer running out of ink the older they
get.
But I mean,
that.
They don't. They just see each other as human beings, and that's the way it should be.
That's wonderful, man. I'm running out of time. Leonidas Johnson, thank you so much, brother. I got to get you on my podcast on YouTube, man. I have to get you on. So thank you so much for calling in. Y'all go on to the website, leonidasjohnson.com, and follow him on social media. Let me tell you guys about Relief Factor before I go to the break. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Nick, you need to take some Relief Factor. He's walking around here limping. Get you some Relief Factor today. See, I'm not just telling y'all. I'm telling my people, too, to get some Relief Factor. A matter of fact, I'm going to bring some from the house and make them take it. I don't advise you to make other people take it, but it works that well. So go to ReliefFactor.com. Get started with the 3-week quick starter for
$19.95. What an incredible price for what Relief Factor can do for your life. If you're walking around, you're suffering with soreness, inflammation, joint discomfort, Relief Factor is the key to your success. And it's great people that run the company. So you're supporting an incredible company, incredible people, incredible product. ReliefFactor.com or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I got a few people calling in. I'll get to you in 1 second, but I want to remind you guys about the incredible documentary called The Real Anthony Fauci. Bobby Kennedy Jr. and others exposed the harmful health system and Anthony Fauci's role in shaping the AIDS and COVID-19 epidemic. So go on and see how much of a fraud Anthony Fauci is. Literally, I can't stand these people. You know, like I try to be fair because they're supposed to be experts and all this other stuff. These people, if you sat down and had a conversation with Anthony Fauci, you'll realize these people are shells of human beings, in my opinion. How could you have a soul and be reasonable and you're pushing stuff that you know ain't helping people? And if Dr. Fauci know this stuff ain't helping nobody, he's a virologist. He know it ain't helping nobody. And they change tune every 30 seconds. So we know they full of crap. Anyway, let me go to one of the callers that are calling in, David from Jackson, Mississippi. David, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, what's up? And I just want to clarify, it's Dave, the demigod, you know what I'm saying? And I'm the demigod king, but you are a demigod too. You know why? Who is your father? You know what I'm saying? And that's a real question. It's God. So you a demigod, and everybody who identifies as Christian is a demigod. And as a demigod, it is your job to fight other beings that aren't humans, you know what I'm saying, that are otherworldly entities. A person without a soul is what a demon is. Anthony Fauci is a demon, and there's plenty of people out there just like that. So it's your job to take the knowledge and make it a weapon and fight. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when it comes to for shizzle my nizzle, at the end of the day, if you don't know what you're talking about or what you're saying, you just shouldn't say it. Like, the Nazis invented jet engines, heart surgery. They invented a lot of stuff, a lot of technology that we use. So if I didn't know who Hitler was, I'd be like, man, the Nazis are pretty great. I sound like dumbass Kanye. I mean, dumb Kanye, sorry. But like I'm saying, either way, know what you're talking about. And if you don't know what you're talking about or what you're saying, look into it, research, educate yourself. So at the end of the day, David is Dave, the demigod king. You know what I'm saying? We out here with the king's life, fighting the entities. So stay blessed out there. And remember, there are enemies out here, for real.
All right, appreciate it, Dave. I was going to ask him about the tornadoes because I know they had tornadoes going through Mississippi. But yeah, it's hard to follow some of that, but I agree. You know, but this is what I will say. Nobody should be fired for saying for shizzle my nizzle, because it's funny, if a person on there was black and said for shizzle my nizzle, they wouldn't have fired them. But a white person said they would fire. And either one, and both of them don't even know what the context could be. It's just virtue signaling. Like, I just know people that are listening, because it's probably like five people listening to me right now, but I know people that are listening are just sick of the foolery. You just wish people would have common sense. Like, I'm so sick of the ignorant people in our country. I'm just sick of the ignorance. Everybody's so mad. Everybody's so woke. Everybody's so, it's like, can you stop and think for 30 seconds? You know, it makes me just think about how all of these things happen in our country that are negative because of ignorant people, right? How do people commit fraud? Many cases because they take advantage of ignorant people. Why is there so many kids who are getting turned into trans and all this other stuff? Because you got ignorant people trying to do intelligent things. I guess that's the best way I could put it. Somebody who's ignorant, no concept of God, no concept of reality, telling the young kid that they know that they can be trans at 3 years old. I mean, then that ignorant person raised the ignorant person, and then before you know it, it's just a chain of ignorant people. You can exchange the word ignorant for sheep. People raise sheep, they become sheep,
and the sheep are lining up for the slaughter. And the sheep will do whatever the shepherd tell them to do. CNN tell you to go left, the sheep will go left. Fox tell you to go right, the sheep will go right. We gotta get out of that sheep mentality. Like, everything that you hear, you should challenge. If you challenge everything you hear, two things are going to happen. You're going to become better, and you're going to become better because you learn more. Are you going to become stronger in your convictions because you realize that you were right and what you heard was wrong? I hope that I articulated that very clearly. The more I learned about God wasn't because of Christians. I learned more about God from people who oppose God, because it did two things. There are some things that people that oppose God have correct, and some of their points are correct. Overall, they're incorrect. But some of the things I learned from it makes me better, and then others, after doing more research, help me validate my faith and my point. But if you just sit around expecting somebody to do all the research for you and expect to listen to everything that everybody say and just take it at face value, you will not be as successful. I mean, everything I do, from financial advice to business advice to you name it, political advice, I listen to what people say, and I back it up against common sense and what we would call discernment. And then I say, okay, now let me look at other sources and verify what I just heard. The Bible is the inerrant word of God. Somebody who was not a biblical, I would say a fan of the Bible, a biblical apologist, said that the Bible is not the inerrant word of God. And it challenged me to say, well, yes, it is. And that person said, no, it isn't. And so my process was, let me go and prove that person wrong. And in the midst of proving them wrong, I end up proving myself wrong. I end up finding out that the original scrolls that the New Testament was written in, there's mistakes that were made in translation. Now, does that stop you from getting the general gist of who Jesus was and his mission? No, it doesn't. But what it does is that you can now stop touting a falsehood and acting like the Bible is just the specific people that wrote or translated all the way through to the King James was some inspired people that could never do no harm. In reality, these were people who were subject to making mistakes, in which they did. And we have proof of that, because if you have the original documents, you can look at the proof of that. If you have other translations, you can compare and contrast and become a more informed Christian. Let me tell you guys about Relief Factor before I go to the break. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is a supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day, and it works wonders for me. So make sure you go to relieffactor.com. And in the spirit of what I've been saying just a second ago, is that don't just believe me. Go look at the ingredients. Go look at the testimonials. Go and evaluate why over 500,000 people are taking Relief Factor. And then make your honest decision based on facts, not emotions, not me getting you all emotional, but you diving into the facts and making an informed decision that's best for you. Go to relieffactor.com, or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. Y'all hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Austin Tatum Show. Get you your pillow at mypillow.com. The MyPillow 2.0 is off the cheesy for sheezy, my kneesy. I'm going to get fired. All right. Make sure you go in and get the MyPillow 2.0, MyPillow 2.0 from MyPillow.com. If you're looking for an incredible pillow, you can buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow 2.0. So go to MyPillow.com, put in the discount code Brandon, and you'll get a pillow today. One you pay for, the other one is absolutely free. Alrighty. I done forgot everything that I was talking about. But anyway, I guess I can move on. Oh, I wanted to talk about the redlining. I was talking to Leonidas, and I wasn't able to get to redlining, but
then I'm going to get cut off and I'm going to have to continue in the following segment. But I did some research on redlining, and I realized that redlining may not have had anything to do with race. And this whole time they say, oh, they just refused to give black people loans because they were black. Now, redlining is specifically not giving loans to people in a geographical area. Now, the naysayers, the ones who oppose what I'm saying, will say that they intentionally sought out the black areas and decided to not give them loans in the black areas. So let me just explain this, and we should all be able to realize what really happened here. And it's no difference than Black Lives Matter, no difference than the anti-police rhetoric. Redlining is the exact same thing. It was it had a disproportionate effect on black people, but it wasn't discrimination. Now, they refuse to give loans to people that didn't qualify, and they didn't give mortgages to people that didn't qualify that are in areas that's not profitable to the bank. That was real redlining. But then they made banks give to people who did not qualify, people who were in rundown areas that will not benefit the bank. And then the government had to bail the bank out. So you just explain this to me. How is it that it's racist if they don't give black people loans, and then they give black people loans and it's called predatory lending? It's you can't win. It's like, if you are you qualified or you not. If you're not qualified, you shouldn't get a loan. But because you're black, you think you should get a loan if you're not qualified. And then when you mess over the loan, they call it predatory lending. It's all a farce, ladies and gentlemen. Hold the phone. I got more right after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to jump back and talk about redlining for a minute. You know, I'm open to see how maybe there was racism, discrimination. I'm open to somebody to give a clarifying argument. But when I look at stats and numbers, the investigative mind that I have of being a former police officer is that you can't just bluff me with, there's more black people than white people that experience this. Well, we need to get deeper into this. What do you mean, right? Because if you look at families around the entire world, mostly the firstborn child, typically does better in life than the subsequent born children, generally speaking. So are the parents biased against their own kids? Are they racist against their own kids? I would argue not. There's other factors that create that number that we see that's not just because of just due to some form of discrimination. And I said this at my speech. I said, well, wait a minute. More women are teachers in grade school than men. So just because there's a disparity, does that mean that the school system discriminates against men? I mean, there's more black men that play in the NFL than white men. Disproportionately, black men are represented in sports. Does that mean that sports are racist against white people? So just because there's disparity doesn't mean that there's discrimination. And when you see this area, people are not getting loans, are you saying all black people? Or are you saying you're comparing people in this area to white people that don't live in that area? Because if you look at the lending practices before the equal housing and all of that other stuff, you look at the lending practices, black banks denied black people at the same rate or greater than white banks. So what exactly are you explaining here? Are black banks more predatory against black lenders or are black people when it comes to lending? But people are not willing to wake up and smell the roses and say, well, black people's credit score, I don't even have to see a stat. I know that black people's credit scores are generally lower than white people's credit scores. I know. I just grew up, everybody had bad credit. I didn't know a person with good credit growing up. Well, my dad probably had good credit. But everybody else had no credit, bad credit. They putting credit in a kid's name, their kid five. So that kid going to grow up, have bad credit before they ever get started. That is a cultural thing. Bad credit. I had bad credit. Before I knew what credit, I didn't even know what credit was. By the time I found out what credit was, my credit was bad. So it's a cultural thing. One of my friends, black guy, worked at a bank. Black people get mad because they think that they're being discriminated against. And he told me, he said, bruh, black people just don't have good credit. Generally speaking, most black people that come in here have terrible credit. And I want to do something for them. I'm black. I want to help black people. But I can't because their credit is so bad. Then compared to when white people come in here, black people disproportionately have lower credit. Now, of course, some lunatic somewhere is going to blame the white man for having bad credit. As if somehow the white man is not paying your bills and taking loans that you can't afford out in your name. Other than that, it's all on you. So when I looked at the redlining, I said, I see a big flaw in this. Because black people that lived in these other areas, were they getting rejected from loans and mortgages? The ones that did not live in a predominantly black area. So if you say the ones that did not live in predominantly black areas were getting accepted at greater rates than other blacks, then you have to say it may be the area, not the skin color. And anyway, people use that as a crutch even today. But when you look at the facts of some of these statistical talking points, you have to continue to ask questions. Are you comparing apples to apples? Or are you comparing oranges to apples and still trying to make a point? It's like when people say, man, police brutality. It's like, okay, what about your city? Oh, they ain't never, your city ain't never killed a person, an unarmed person in the history of this city. But police brutality is bad. It's like, well, you're comparing apples to oranges because the police agency in six states over in one county did something wrong. That's not indicative of an entire police force around the entire country. But people that with common sense know that. But ladies and gentlemen, they have an agenda to push. It's not about truth. It's not about facts. It's about an agenda. And I really wish as we methodically go through these points that we will ask these questions so we can get a valid answer. I honestly believe that culturally, these black neighborhoods run by black people, lived in by black people, culturally are run through the ground. These gangs that are unique to black communities are terrorizing the city. It costs more for groceries in low-income areas. Why is that? Because the threat level of delivering groceries, delivering produce to these places are so high that they charge a premium to ship this stuff there. There are some carriers that won't even carry the certain area codes. They just won't. It's too dangerous. They're getting robbed. All of these other things. That has nothing to do with anything else but culture. You know, you go down a disproportionate ladder. And you say, well, look, men commit suicide disproportionately to women. Does that mean that suicide is discriminating against women? Like, come on, man. There's reasons why men, there's stressors that women don't have in this country that men have. There's pressures. You know, people like to say, oh, it's hard being a woman. You know, you have the pressure to do this and pressure to do that. And I think that being a man is a little harder, generally speaking. And some women have circumstances that are much harder than certain men. But I think generally speaking, men have it a lot harder, man. I mean, because you think women are struggling to deal with their own demons. Men have to deal with their demons and that woman's demons. And then there you go. Men are committing suicide. And don't get me wrong. It's tongue in cheek to what I'm saying to a certain degree. I do think men have it rough in this country more so than women do or in life in general. Not to diminish the struggles of women, but I think that's the reason why we see men commit suicide at a higher rate. Because the pressure and the stress and the social obligations are just much higher
and therefore, you know, people can't handle it. The expectations of men are far greater than the expectation of most women. You can go down the list, you know, is construction sites discriminating against women? No, women just ain't, they ain't trying to go work on a construction site with a hard hat on, putting tar on the roof on 150 degrees outside. Women aren't doing that. They're taking care of the kids. Many of them are at home taking care of the kids, especially in traditional families. So, you know, when you go to look at statistical data that have an indicator of some type of disparity, always, always, always go back to the concept of just because there's disparity doesn't necessarily mean there's discrimination. There are times, there are places, there are situations where discrimination is a number one factor. But then there's times and places there, you know, it has nothing to do with nothing. And I'll tell you this, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, if your name, if a person can't reach your name, you're probably not going to get the job. If you are going to work for a conservative and you apply for the job and you got blue hair in your pictures and you got she, her pronouns in your pronoun thing, you're going to be discriminated against. Because the preconceived idea is that you're nutty. If you got he, his in your bio, don't even waste your time talking to me. Because if you ain't a transgender, what are you doing identifying the he, him? Now I understand transgender people doing it because they want to transform, for lack of better terms. They want to transform from a woman to a man. So it makes sense for them to say, hey, I'm a he. But you got regular people that ain't got nothing to do with homosexual anything, and they got she, her in the pronouns to virtue signal. You ain't the person that I want to work with. You ain't it. I'm just throwing it out there. Don't get mad at me. Don't kill the messenger. I really don't want to work with people like that. I'm not saying I'll discriminate against you, but there's a good chance that we might not be a good fit. Define the English language is not a good fit. So hold the phone, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to tell you guys about something I forgot. Oh, it's the MyPillow. If you're looking for an incredible pillow, look no further. You can go to MyPillow.com. The MyPillow 2.0 is the new innovative pillow from Mike Lindell. And many would argue that it's one of the best pillows on the market that you can buy. And the beauty of being my listener or a listener on my show is that we got an exclusive discount for you. So don't worry about the price, because you're going to get the product for half the price. Or consider buy one, get one free offer. So go to MyPillow.com, put in discount code Brandon, and you will get the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free offer. All right. So let's get back to the concept at hand, and then we'll get into some politics. But, you know, yawning on here. Anytime you consider any fact, always consider the opposite. Always look at what the person who opposed you think about the subject matter. What is the argument? In my opinion, it's going to make you a smarter person. When I was doing a whole, you know, looking up Jesus, and, you know, when I had questions about the Trinity and I had questions about all these things, I just listen to people who disagree with what I have to say that are intelligent, not dummies that are emotional, but people that are intelligent, looked it up and verified. Or sometimes I was changed. Like I said in the last segment, when I was looking up the Bible, you know, I used to always preach, it's the inerrant word of God. It's the inerrant word of God. And in my mind, I really thought it had no errors in it. Like it was some inspirational translation. And when you look at the King James Version of the Bible, you look at some of the other translations of the Bible, and you say, well, wait a minute, we need to be 100% transparent, because you're not going to win people over by lying and making up stuff. You're not going to win somebody over by
by saying the Bible is inerrant. Then they're going to, anybody with intelligence that do any research is going to look at you and say, oh man, this person is full of crap. They're not even open-minded enough to see the truth about their own stuff. You know, I think that the original manuscripts were inspired, but the translation into the English language, people did the best that they could. I'd say that in some cases they were manipulative, but you had to do the best of what you had. You know, there were no typewriters. You had to write by hand. There are no copy machines. They had to write that entire book by hand in order to make a copy. So if you want five or six people to have a copy, you have to write it by hand. And here's another element of it. Before, people really didn't write down this stuff. I don't know if somebody was carrying a journal around and writing it down. So some of these things were stories that were passed on, and you know how that worked. If you ever played the telephone game, I don't care what intent you have. You start saying it, by the time you get it back around to you, it's a whole different thing. And there are verses of the King James Bible that have been taken out of the Bible. It's been removed. And it's because they found out with the Dead Sea Scrolls, which predate the manuscripts used for the King James, that the King James had a lot of errors in it that wasn't consistent with history. And they believe in some cases people may have written a column into a verse on accident because they used to write notes in the column. And once you translate it and translate it and translate it, translate it, translate it, before you know it, the word thee or the or his or her may end up getting in the scripture being misrecognized as a note versus the actual inspired text. You wouldn't know that if you didn't get challenged on these things. You know, there are certain concepts in the Bible that I got challenged on. I had to think twice about, like tithing. Like, you know, for the longest time, ever since I was young, all the way up until, I don't know, I was 23 or 24, I used to believe that tithing money was an actual commandment by God. And I remember my pastor used to always read Malachi. How have a man robbed God? Through tithe and offering. And then somebody that didn't believe in Christianity was like, it's a complete farce. And nobody has ever tithe money anywhere in the Bible. And I said, man, this guy is a lunatic. It's nowhere. He has no idea what he's talking about. I'm going to easily debunk this. And I went and looked at the Bible, and I couldn't find one place where anybody tithe money. People tithe all kinds of other stuff. They've never tithe money. And then there are people make the argument, oh, well, you know, back in them days, they didn't have money. They didn't have a currency. Well, that wasn't necessarily true because Judas betrayed Jesus for money. So they did have money, and yet they weren't tithing money. And then you look at the scriptures and you say the love of money is the root of all evil. Now you realize why God has never commanded you to tithe money. You know, in the Bible, tithing had a specific mission. The Levites, the tithing in the Old Testament were specific to the Leviticus people. And even today, there were specific things that God made a covenant with people on with tithing. Now, I don't have a problem with you giving 10% if you made a commitment to say, I'm going to give 10% of my money, and that's between me and God. But people got to stop trying to hold God to stuff that they create in their mind. And that's the reason why these pastors are now flying in private jets and doing all this old crazy stuff, because they have now tricked you into using what was once a sacred concept to now create a money grab, to now tax you for going to church. That's pretty much what it is. They taxed you. Now, I believe that God can bless you if your heart is in the right place and you've been paying 10% of your income because you believed. I believe God will bless you. And these crooks take advantage of that blessing, because I honestly believe if pastors came out and said, God wants you to tithe 40% of your money, I really do believe God will bless people who have faith, who tithe 40% of their money in ignorance. Now, they will continue to get blessed. And the crooked pastor would then be able to reference, see, look, you gave that money and look what God did for you. It's like, no, you lied to that person. That person's faith gained them success. You probably ain't going to make it. You probably ain't going to make the kingdom cheating people out of their money. There's more. There's a lot more stuff that I looked up. I looked up about baptism and about all these other things. And I said, okay, who challenges me on this point?
whether it's the same religion, whether it's different religions, and I had to go and check myself and realize that, wow, I have to figure that out. I did not know how the Bible was translated when I first became a Christian. And somebody challenged me on it, and I had to go do some research. And therefore, I realized that the King James Bible, the NIV, ESV, NIT, all these Bibles are very different from one another. They're all are not created equal, and they are all not translated. They're not translated the same. You know, you have the King James, you have the you have the King James, and maybe a little more stricter one-to-one translation would be the ESV. But then you keep going from the ESV and it gets watered down until you get to the Message Bible. That means that somebody didn't necessarily do a translation of a translation or a direct translation. They did a transliteration or they translated an idea that they then put in their own sentence. But hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Make America godly again. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Let me tell you guys about Salem News Channel. If you are looking to listen to the show and watch the show at the same time, first hour of my show syndicated live on the Salem News Channel. My show and the rest of the Salem hosts, all of your favorites are right there. All you got to do is go to SalemNewsChannel.com, SalemNewsChannel.com, download it on your phone, download it on your Android or your iPhone or the Roku. Go to Salem News Channel today and make sure you check out the show. Let me finish what I was saying. No, I think I need to move on at this point. I think I beat the dead horse to a pulp. There's a few other items of information that are coming out. I mean, I don't understand how the news isn't picking up on Hunter Biden's laptop. It's crazy to me. You know, if this was Donald Trump and family ain't even in the news, they still talking about him every single day. I want to talk a little bit about Trump DeSantis just real quick, about Trump attacking DeSantis. I really do believe that Trump and his team believe that it's more of a method to attack DeSantis over Biden, clearly because the primary is more important to win. Because if you don't win the primary, what are you going to do against Joe Biden? So I think that the reason that Donald Trump is attacking, apparently, according to Fox News, he's attacking DeSantis four times more than Biden as the primary heats up, which makes a tremendous fact. Let me just move on from that. All right. It says fact check from Town Hall. It says Trump's latest anti-DeSantis rant. Fact check says number one, fact check. Trump touts receiving more votes than DeSantis in Florida. And it says this is true, but it's a weak argument. Trump carried Florida twice, beating Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, but just over one percentage point and just over three percentage points, respectively. Presidential elections turnouts are always much larger than midterm turnouts. DeSantis first won his first gubernatorial term in the blue year of 2018 with Trump's help, but a little more than 30,000 votes statewide, a margin of less than one half of 1%. 4 years later, he won by roughly 1.5 million votes, achieving a victory margin 19 full percentage points better than his 2018 mark. Trump wants to make an apples to oranges comparison during the midterm, comparing to make it seem like he is more impressive, which is, I think, is a point to be reckoned with, because, you know, I often wonder, and I know people probably would love to hear me talk about something different, but I often wonder, what is going to happen with Trump DeSantis? Like, what is going to happen? It seems like Trump has a tremendous amount more momentum than Ron DeSantis, but
is that just these polls that are coming out because emotional people are participating? Are these polls a true reflection of what people actually believe, or are they a reflection of people fluffing the polls in order to inflate numbers to make a certain reality seem true? It still remains to be seen. The second anti-DeSantis rant that I see here on this town hall article is that if raw votes versus victory margin is deeply misleading, a game Trump wants to play. However, we could look at Trump's raw voting improvement between 2016 and 2020 in Florida. Against Hillary Clinton, Trump collected a little more than 4.6 million votes in the Sunshine State. 4 years later, he improved the mark by more than 1 million voters, nearly 5.7 million, amount to a 3-plus point overall margin. Due to the enormous number of voting cast, Biden won 5.3 million votes. Let's see. Compared to Hillary Clinton's 4.5. DeSantis won more votes in Florida last year than Clinton won in the 2016 presidential cycle, flipping blue counties like Miami-Dade, Palm Beach, and other counties, all of which Trump decisively lost twice. The governor increased his raw vote total by approximately 1.5 million, better than Trump's 1.1 million improvement. Pretty interesting fact. So there's a lot of these little points to be made when Trump make disparaging statements about Ron DeSantis. He's just not being accurate. And I wish that he would just be accurate about the affairs, because when it start to come out and unravel, are the numbers going to match the energy? You know, Donald Trump talks a good game. I think he is very exciting. But is that excitement real, or is it conjured up? Let me tell you guys about Relief Factor before I go to the break. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day, and it makes me feel incredible. And I'll say this about Relief Factor. It's very simple, it's very easy to take, and it's very effective. But you have to take it enough for your body to get acclimated, or for it to get into your system. Many people like to take something one or two times and then say, look, it didn't work for me. Or you say, oh, man, it worked great. That's probably placebo, okay? Take it a little bit. Your body has to get the nutrients and stuff in your body. It has to work. Do it over a period of time, and you'll feel so much better, so much more rapidly. So all you have to do is go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call the number 804-RELIEF. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Austin Tatum Show. I'm so excited. Here soon, I'm going to be telling you guys more about my e-commerce store called Tatum Store. We got the code is merch in the game on the store. Some of y'all can't see me, obviously, because you listen to me on the radio, but I got one of our brand new shirts on now. But it's funny because our biggest item that we sell right now, and that's literally flying off the shelves, is a shirt that has Jesus on it. He's kind of like emerging from the clouds, and it says, backed by popular demand. Backed by popular demand. People are eating that shirt up. So anyway, if you're interested in it, all you got to do is go to Tatum Store and put in code TatumShow20. You'll get 20% off the entire store. TatumShow20. T-A-T-U-M Show 20. 20% off the store. So I'm going to practice letting you guys know about the store, and I'm probably going to be speaking about my store and not so much my pillow. But I'm just giving you guys a preview. We'll see how it does. All right. So, you know, Donald Trump against DeSantis again. Let me go to fact check number three. It says the former president again attacked DeSantis for the left on entitlement reform, from the left on entitlement reform, using cut and paste Democratic talking points. Let's see, to assail positions and votes DeSantis took while in Congress.
tying him to former House Speaker Paul Ryan. For a record, here is how Trump described Ryan upon his retirement announcement in 2018. President Trump on Wednesday praised House Speaker Paul Ryan as a truly good man with the legacy of achievement. As news broke that the lawmakers will not seek re-election to Congress, Speaker Paul Ryan is a truly good man. And while he will not be speaker re-election or he not be seeking re-election, he will leave a legacy of achievement that nobody can question. The president tweeted, "We are with you, Paul." So as he clowns Ron DeSantis, come to find out he made some pretty significant statements towards Paul Ryan that were favorable. And now all of a sudden he hates Paul Ryan and he's a rhino. He made statements for DeSantis, which were favorable. Now he does not like DeSantis. I don't know if it's true or if it's politics. In a rehash of another recent barb, Trump claimed that Florida has been doing well for quite a while, long before Ron DeSantis got there. The voters put DeSantis there, of course, and many more voters moved to Florida under the DeSantis administration, then decided to keep him in office by an overwhelming margin. Trump half-heartedly endorsed DeSantis at a tail end of the last cycle, later saying that he regretted doing so, while also hailing Democrat Charlie Crist. That's crazy. Now, let me move on from that because I think people are tired of me talking about DeSantis and Trump. It's funny because they got us all on the cliffhanger, man. You're just wondering, is he going to run or is he not going to run? Are they going to leave us on the cliffhanger or are they going to make this thing come to fruition? Let me get a couple people in that are calling in. 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. Let me go with John from Michigan. John, hey, welcome buddy to the show.
Hey, buddy. First time calling. I love how you run the show. Anyway, what I want to say, I'm a systems engineer. Over 30 years, designed passenger cars, trucks, military attack vehicles, all the above. Okay, when you're trying to solve a problem, you write a context paragraph about what the problem is, and then you decompose it and you create solutions. We have a systems approach here to this that is very simple. Okay, in line with what you're saying, security, that's a subsystem of the school, right? So now we take apart that subsystem and we design, okay, threat detection, action, all those things get put down and put down on, it's sort of on paper. But
I think you dropped a call. Oh, yeah, his call dropped. Sorry about that. Let's see, Kyle from Chicago. Welcome to the Office Tatum Show.
Yes, sir. You know, I want to agree with you, but I also want to play a little bit of devil's advocate. As far as AOC goes, I want to look to some of these colleges and what they're being indoctrinated there. I have a cousin. He went to Michigan Tech up in the UP. My aunt and uncle love him to death. They raised him the right way, but he came back dating a they, and none of them know what to think. I mean, just like you said earlier, just my aunt's a teacher, and just as far as vocabulary goes, it doesn't make any sense to any of us.
He came back what?
He came back dating a they, in quotations. You know, his girlfriend identifies as, you know, whatever, and none of us understand it because she wants to be acknowledged as a they, and my response is, well, fine, I'll call you a they, but my adjectives are handsome and intelligent.
Right. Michigan Tech. You know, it's funny, Kyle. I was just at Michigan Tech speaking. I wondered if your family member come to my event.
I don't think so. Like I said, he was pushed on the wrong end of the spectrum when he came back. And that's where I say, you know, you said, what were AOC's parents thinking? And I want to say, you know what, let's look to them, but let's look at the colleges, too. I think she went to Boston. What are they teaching kids out there? And everything like that.
Right. No, Kyle, I agree. Pushback worthy. I do agree 100%. Because, yeah, it's you know, you raise your kids right, you teach them to raise them up as good Christians, and they go to college and get real stupid. I've seen people, it's horror stories. Most kids go off to college and become less Christian. One, because it's hard to find a good church, and two, as a man, if you're into sports, you're getting so many women out there that it's just, it's too much for you to handle. Hold the phone, I'll be back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. A lot of good material for you guys earlier. And, you know, a lot is going on in the world. You know, you got the shooting going on. Dr. Fauci losing his mind. You know, it's so much going on in America. And I just wish we can get to a point of calm and resolve. And I wish that we could elevate Jesus a little more. And that's it. That's it. I think that's the key to all of our problems, is that people are not, for whatever reason, able to have a fair relationship with God, a fair relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. And I think that's why everybody feels so lost, because I see a lot of people running to counseling and saying, oh, I need to get my trauma out, which I think it's a great idea to go to counseling. But at the end of the day, there's a spiritual battle too. And I honestly believe when you get exposed to faith and you get exposed to the true calling on your life, it makes your life so much better. So that's pretty much all I wanted to talk about today. Again, there's so many things. You know, I wonder, is Trump going to get indicted? I think if he get indicted for some reason, if they perp walk him, it's over. He's going to win the election just off of that. I pray for the people out there in Mississippi. I believe it was Mississippi. I was seeing the video, people dying and the tornadoes just tearing through. My producer sent me this article, and I meant to talk about it today. I'm going to have to save it for tomorrow. It says the CNN, is some idiot writing for CNN, accused white people of digital blackface. So what they said was that if you were doing emojis that elevate, or like emoji of emotions, and you use a black person, not emojis, I mean GIFs, right? So if you're doing a little GIFs, and I don't know if you guys even know who a GIFs are. I mean, I don't know if everybody even is aware of that. Little GIFs are these little short clips of like video action where you get, you know, Carlton doing his little dance, and it's like kind of like a funny meme style GIF. And I guess if you do that to express an emotion, but the person is black in the GIF, as a white person, you are using blackface. Can you believe somebody wasted time, effort, energy, and oxygen enough to write an article like that, and CNN published it? I know it's an opinion piece, but they published it anyway, and they should be ashamed of themselves. But ladies and gentlemen, coming towards the end of the show, it's been real. Again, Carl, thank you so much for filling in for me while I was out. Ladies and gentlemen, I want y'all to stay tuned. I will be back, same place, same time, tomorrow. God bless you. I'm out. What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.